This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
All right, we're back with a 2024 our first episode of 2024. Season 2, episode 16. It is January 11th, 2024. And there has been no shortage of something to talk about in the last weeks.
Man, everybody's like, 2024 is our year. Hey, no, it's not.
Woo! And I bet you there's some people hurting right now, especially some Bama fans, man. They're probably sweating it right now.
Yeah.
But I think
kind of came out of left field.
Yeah? You didn't think he had a chance of retiring?
I figured he'd come back for one more year with a lot of his kind of players coming back and, you know, the way they put this season together and, you know, kind of ride the momentum going into next year and see what would happen.
Yeah. Well, for you guys that probably don't know what we're talking about, you probably do. Nick Saban's retiring from University of Alabama after 28 years of coaching. There's so many stats you can talk about. He had a 1 year at Toledo where he went 9-2. 5 years at Michigan State where he was 34-24. 5 years at LSU where he was 48-16, and then spent his last 17 years at Bama where he went 206 wins and 29 losses. His SEC record was 120-18 with 9 conference championships. So his total was 369 games, 297 wins, and 71 losses with 1 tie. And, of course, somewhere in there he's bounced back from the NFL with the Browns, with the Dolphins. So he didn't have his full career wasn't just college. There was some NFL hiatuses there. I think maybe 4 with the Browns and 2 with the Dolphins, I think. So all in all, great career. I mean, the landscape's definitely going to change for the college level. And what's next from here?
I saw an interesting stat to kind of add in to what you're talking about with this Alabama record. You know, he had more first-round draft picks than he did losses at Alabama. 44 first rounders.
It's a good stint.
Doing something right.
Yeah. And then only 29 losses at Bama.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think overall, I think with his other Toledo, Michigan State, and LSU, I think he ended up with 49 first rounders in all. So under his coaching, he's had 49, 44 with Bama. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, you make promises to players, hey, you come to Bama, you're going to get drafted, or you have a better chance of getting drafted. Hey, you come to Bama, you're going to win national championships. And I think he won at least one national championship with every recruiting class except for maybe this last year would have been his fourth year. So he might have had one more championship. So yeah, if you came to Bama, if you got recruited and stayed with Bama for your whole 3-4 year stint, you have a national championship ring. So that's pretty wild.
Man. Unprecedented.
Oh yeah.
Heck of a coach, man.
Definitely going to be a first round ballot for College Hall of Fame. He had out of his 28 years, Saban only missed going to a bowl game 3 times, one with Toledo, twice with Michigan State. But with Toledo, I think he led them to a conference championship, but they were just in a smaller conference. I don't think they got noticed as much. Was 19-12 in postseason, 7 national championships, 6 being with Bama, 1 with LSU in 2003, and spent 15 straight seasons in the AP number 1 spot, breaking the record of 7 years held by Miami. So 15 straight years of being at least ranked number 1 sometime in the AP top poll. So that's pretty good legacy, pretty good dynasty. What's next? What's next for Bama?
Well, you know, you kind of touch on the Hall of Fame. Just skip the ballot, put him in. Put him in.
Yeah, automatic bid.
Just deserves to be in it. You know, he did everything right the way he was supposed to. And I know a lot of people hate him, but, man, the players love him.
I think for everybody that says that they hate Saban is just because he wins and just because your team gets beat by him. I mean, I know that was the only thing for me being an OU fan. You know, it was just like, man, just hate seeing him win year after year after year. But you definitely got to tip your cap to him. It's not a hate of not a bad guy. It's a hate of because he's winning all the time.
Oh, yeah. So who's the next Bama coach? Is it Lanning from Oregon? Is it Dabo Swinney? Is, you know, what route do they go? Does Bill Belichick potentially make a college stint?
I honestly thought of that. I thought of, like, man, how weird would that be if because I feel like Saban is retiring to ride off into the sunset, to where Belichick, we'll get on that later, is leaving on unfinished business. So yes. That could be a massive hire, because the last time Bama hired an NFL coach, it turned out pretty well for him.
Did it ever.
I.e. Nick Saban from the Dolphins went back in 2006, I think it was. He coached Dolphins in 5 and 6 and ended up going to Bama starting 2007 till today. But, man, I think nobody's seat is safe in any college program right now, because that is the highlight spot, the hot seat. It would be very controversial to go there. You would be sweating it every day. But I think – no coach is above reproach when it comes to this Alabama spot. So, like I said, who are you thinking? Who are you guessing?
Man, Lanning's already made an appearance there. I don't know. You know, you're kind of getting someone with the same type-ish mentality in Swinney, in that he hates the portal and he hates the NIL.
Yeah,
you know, and let's be real, the portal and NIL are ruining college sports.
Yes.
You know, so I think that was a big contributor to the retirement of Nick Saban, because it is on pretty much on record that he dislikes it strongly.
Yeah. I think the NIL is definitely, and portal has changed college football forever, depending on if they can get reins on it, pretty much. Just get a border on it. I feel that it's so wide open. It's like the Wild West right now. And there's no rules, no compliance, no date set, no nothing. I think they'll eventually start trying to reel this back in and get it to where, hey, you can only accept this much. Or, hey, you can't transfer after January 1st or after the championship game. You can't do all this. Or have the NIL people who are giving them money say, hey, here's your contract. You got to play every game, whether it is a bowl game or not, because you're taking this money. So make it as a contract. If they're going to get paid for it, make them stay the whole time. Same goes with coaches. If you're going to coach here, you stay the whole year. You don't leave before the bowl game. You don't leave before this and that. You got to wait till it's all done. In MLB, where they can't start contacting players to sign them till after World Series, is that correct?
Yes, I believe so.
So what's different with college, to where they can start trading schools and moving and all this before the season's even done, right?
Yeah. Hey, so, unless you're a graduate transfer, then You know, all that other stuff needs to stop. It, to me, you remember a certain little word called tampering?
Mm-hmm.
Now it seems like, you know, that word is just kind of gone with the wind.
Like, yeah.
No, we're negotiating. They're like, no, you're tampering. You're trying to get this kid to leave his current program. And I'm sorry, these kids should not be getting seven figures either.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Hey, here's your NIL deal. Your college is fully paid now.
Well, when you have a quarterback that's making two or three times more than a starting quarterback of the 49ers who's in first place, you know, in their division,
yeah,
and making more money, that's where a few years ago it was completely where they weren't making any money, you know, and now they're making, like I said, it's the Wild West out there. There's no limits. There's no salary cap. There's no nothing. It's just, but I mean, credit to good for the players. I'm happy for the players. Get what you can while you can, because I feel like there's a day coming to where there's going to be NIL contracts, ceilings, salary caps, all that's coming in, which it needs to be. But for right now, it's like I said, it's the Wild West where you have players getting more money than professional players. And so what's the point in calling this an amateur sport? It's not anymore. It's a,
no.
It's a pro sport now that you're getting paid.
It's the minor leagues of NFL is what it's turned into, basically. I mean, basically, now the NFL is almost minor leagues of college because of what these players are making. It's mm-hmm. ludicrous. It's ridiculous. Like I said, hey, here's your NIL deal. Whatever you have left on your college, if you're not on a full ride or anything, it's paid for. You know, okay, well, you're on a full ride. Do you need a new car? Okay, here's a new car.
Yeah.
It's not millions. These kids don't know how to deal with money. They don't know how to handle their money. Next thing you know, they're out wearing a $150,000 watch, getting mugged on the sidewalk. It's just setting themselves up for disaster.
Yeah. Or it should be some way handled better to where, hey, you don't get this until you finish out the year or until you finish out your 3 year. We're going to sign you to a 3 year deal to stay with the school. You know, yep. Starting treating it like a minor league contract. Hey, you're with us for 3 years. You're not getting your.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of. And there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Full money until after you graduate, you get your incentives or whatever. Before and after, but you know, make it to where there's some kind of loyalty now, because right now there's no loyalty at all. There was a guy this morning I was listening to, and he put it pretty well. He said, with this NIL, he said, it used to be what could you as a recruit, what can you do to help us with our program? And now it's the recruits asking, what can you do for me to come to this program? And that's what's clearly changed. It's changed the culture of college sports. And it's changed recruiting, which might be the main thing, reason why Saban is getting out. You know,
yeah, for sure. I agree wholeheartedly.
You can't recruit the same that you used to. It might be why Kirby Smart's rumored to be talking with Atlanta Falcons for a job. He got snubbed out of a CFP because the college football playoffs is a politic-driven who knows who and how much money can we make. Why stay in that environment when you can go to NFL and just say, hey, we're here to win?
Right. And speaking of him, like, I love what he said after the game when they played Florida State, basically saying this wasn't a game. They had 29 of their players opt out of that bowl game because of what happened. He basically said that is a great football team over there if they have everybody, which it is. It's a hands-down great football team if everybody's there. And frankly, I don't blame the kids for wanting to opt out, get ready for their pro career, because you got snubbed from a chance at the national championship in which you earned and deserved at the end of the year. And people can say, oh, well, you know, they still got beat 63-3. It's like, doesn't matter. And all they have basically is freshmen and sophomores playing that hadn't really played all year. They were down their primary quarterback, their second string quarterback, I think, what, two running backs, three receivers?
Their whole defensive line minus one was not a starter.
And so, I mean, there's basically 11 players right there.
Yeah. And you go against a Georgia team, which a lot of their seniors are going to play because they don't have anything else to play for, you know. They're trying to up their draft stock. They're kind of in that limbo of, hey, we're lower draft stocks. We're trying to build it, so we want to play in it. But then again, what NFL team looks at that game and goes, oh, yeah, this guy dominated against who? Third string?
Yep.
So I hate it for those seniors, Florida State and Georgia players. They just, you know, you knew it was going to be a bloodbath. Just, I felt bad for them. And everybody wants to say, well, that just goes to show that FSU shouldn't have been in it. Well, you don't know anything about football if that's your response, because nobody played. So,
and that's basically what happened and what we talked about. Florida State did not show up.
Yeah.
By that, we mean their starters did not show up. Their starters did not play. Their big weapons did not play. They essentially said, okay, we're coming. We're getting paid to do this. Just don't kill us.
Yeah, that goes to show, if you're going to say that, well, this game goes to show that they shouldn't have been in it. Flip side, Bama gets beat by Michigan first round. Does that show that they shouldn't have been in it?
And against a Michigan team that had a very off night.
Yes, they had one missed PAT. Was it two missed field goals? Two punt return fumbles, terrible special teams, and still won.
And then you saw what they did in the national championship. That was the Michigan team of all year, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And then everybody wants to question, why is Washington even there? Well, Washington was the second best team in the nation. And it's just like, that just goes to show how good. Is that going to show how good Michigan's defense is, or does that show that Washington just had an off night? Could be both. Or it could just show, like you said, that was the Michigan team that's been around all year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there was even, you know, speaking of opt-outs and all that stuff, I mean, there was a Michigan player talking about Ohio State. He goes, listen, I hate Ohio State, but that was not the Ohio State that we played in their bowl game.
Yeah, exactly. The
Ohio State that we played is a very good football team.
Well, for me, I just think the bowl games as a whole, minus the playoffs, can be a wash. There's nothing that you can take from that other than, like, future players coming up, you know, saying, hey, he looked really good in that. He's going to be good next year. That's about the only thing you can take away from the bowl games, was that, hey, our future prospects look really good. You know, that's about the only thing, because who knows who's going to even be there. With this coaching carousel, whoever takes over the Bama's coaching job, they're going to leave from a high-profile school. Guess what? All Bama's recruits are already bailing ship because they can move and go anywhere else because their head coaches that recruited them isn't going to be there. And then whoever they bring in, whether that's Dabo Swinney, Dan Lanning from Oregon, Kalen DeBoer from Washington, Mike Norvell from Florida State, Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss, you know, Sarkisian from Texas, whoever leaves from there, all their players are going to be able to shift and go anywhere. Who's going to stay there for their junior year for a first-year coach? Nobody. They're going to go to a program that's established and has a coach that's been there for a while. Or they're going to go with them to Bama, wherever, whoever gets the job.
There is one name that hasn't been thrown out, who knows basically how to coach in the ACC, how to coach in the SEC, and really didn't have a bad record where he was. Want to be willing to venture out and guess who I'm talking about?
You said ACC and SEC?
Yep.
No, I couldn't even guess.
He's being paid basically not to coach.
Matt Brown? I don't know. That's
big Jimbo Fisher.
Oh, goodness. That dude should just ride off into the sunset. He's got
Absolutely. I'm just saying, it's like that could almost be a dark horse that, you know, these people be like, we wouldn't really have to pay him as much because he's getting paid by A&M.
Yeah.
Hey, Jimbo, how does this sound? You know how to coach program. You know how to have winning records.
Who's going to turn down a Bama offer?
Yeah.
Been open for 20-something years, you know?
Could the likes of a Gary Patterson maybe be in there? I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
I think someone's – did you say Steve Sarkisian as an option?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And James Franklin from Penn State, all those guys. Yeah. Like I said, there's nobody – every program's probably sweating right now until that seat gets filled.
Yes.
Because I don't think there's any guarantees on, you know, Bama's going to do the buyout, whoever needs to be bought out. Mm-hmm. They will pay your $13 million to leave and sign you. Because they're going to go after the best. You know, to replace a Saban, you're going to have to go after the best.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't want no Joe Schmo in there coming in with that much intimidation and that much pressure on him just to bring some alumni in that's never coached before.
For sure.
Nobody's seat is safe. Like I said, the Dabo was in some polls were leading the options of going. You know, you just said Lanning was on a visit there. So Belichick would be a wild story coming down. Belichick would be a real wild story. But yeah, the you're talking about the Michigan's defense earlier, and I had a stat here. They outscored their opponents 538-156. So, yeah, that's just goes to show that I think they deserve it. And then the other question I'm getting, one of those videos we posted on our TikTok at High Heat Podcast TikTok, a lot of people are putting the asterisk mark on there, questioning if Michigan's not really champions in their book, this and that, because of the sign stealing scandal earlier in the year. What's your thoughts on that?
See, they basically came back and said Harbaugh had nothing to do with it, right?
I haven't really read up on the finals. I've seen where it's been.
I think the last I'd heard and seen was they're basically saying Harbaugh had no knowledge, had nothing to do with it. And it was on that guy's own agenda. Like, I think it was like a booster or something, maybe.
And yeah.
That was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So. I mean, if the NCAA is willing to admit that, and then Michigan goes out and plays, how many games at the start of the year? Was it like that Harbaugh didn't coach? Was it one or three or four?
It's three, I think, at the beginning, and then they found something else. That was for the COVID stuff where he was recruiting for COVID, and then they found that out like week four, and then he went all the way to the rest of the year without coaching. I think he might have coached like one game during the regular season. I can't remember for sure.
But either way, you have a Michigan team that basically stood behind their coach, rallied around their coach, and said, okay, y'all want to take it out on him? We're going to go out and show college football what it's all about.
Bet.
If you want to put an asterisk by anything, you put an asterisk by Alabama getting it. You could even put an asterisk by Texas getting it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but Florida State, Georgia, Washington and Michigan were clearly your top four.
Yeah.
And people can say, oh, well, we saw what Washington and Florida State were made out of. I don't really care. Yeah. Washington undefeated, Florida State undefeated in Power Five conferences and won their championships. If you ask me, Oregon was potentially right there with Michigan as the best team in college football, but for some reason couldn't get past Washington.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's space 80 at Talkspace.com.
They had two chances.
They had two chances, yes. And for some reason, Washington was their Achilles heel. If you had told me Oregon would have lost to them twice, I would have said you're a liar.
I thought Oregon would have got them in the championship.
Nope. But to me, Oregon, with their 12th-year quarterback, was probably one of the top two or three teams in the nation.
They look good here.
My personal opinion.
All right, so Monkey Ranch question. If Oregon did beat Washington in the Pac-12 championship, who's your final four?
Who's my final four?
Who would you put there? I bet CFP got off a lot easier, even though they did have the hard decision between Bama and FSU, but they got off a lot easier than what some situations could have been.
I mean, Michigan.
Yeah.
Florida State. And this is in no particular order.
Yeah.
Michigan, Florida State, Oregon, and then Georgia.
Yeah. I think they have the biggest argument after Bama lost to Michigan. Georgia has the biggest argument of not being able to get in. You lose one game in your SEC championship by, was it seven? Three or seven, something like that. Seven.
Yeah.
So one game out of 3 years you lose, and you get kicked down to five or six. Speaking of Final Fours, we're going to go back to our episode on September 3rd, 2023. We're going to go back to episode 11. We're going to air that now. What our Final Four, or what at least my Final Four was, projection was, and we're just going to show you guys what we had, well, what I had picked on September 3rd. We're going to play that here for you.
Bama.
Let me rewind that for you. We're going to start from here.
So I got Michigan, Bama. Let's go with Penn State, and let's go Washington. I'm trying to throw Washington in there. You know, I'm gonna throw my Tulane Hail Mary up there.
And then for the championship,
I'm feeling Michigan's gonna win it all this year for some reason. They've got everybody coming back. I feel like they finally figured it out with finally beating Ohio State twice. I know it's tough to beat them 3 years in a row, but I just feel like with them having, they're like one of the only top teams that had everybody coming back, including quarterback. So
it's a cocky little thing.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Michigan now.
So that was my prediction on September 3rd, 2023. I cut yours out. I just didn't want to. You were so close, so we're just gonna let it just go.
So close yet so far away.
So we're just going to let you guys know that we're not too crazy on all our predictions and everything. We're only going to show the ones that we do get right. That way we look cool.
We both had Michigan in there, okay?
You did, and I only forced you to go with the other team, which we're not going to name, that you picked, because I was going for Michigan. So we just try to play the odds that one of us was going to be right. So you did. Right. I'll give you credit on that. You did have Michigan in your championship game.
And Texas as a sleeper.
You did have Texas as a sleeper, so I'll give you that. I don't know why I threw Penn State in there. I should have did some ACC or some Big 12 team and would have been a lot closer, but I don't know why I threw Penn State. I wasn't thinking. I already had my top two, and I just threw two random ones in there at the end, which I got lucky on one. But, yeah, just letting you guys know that if you go back and want to watch our other predictions, you know, it was the episode 11 at about 8 minutes and 30-something seconds. We got those.
Let me save y'all some grief, okay? Michigan, LSU, Clemson, Utah.
Yeah.
You know, I really thought LSU was going to turn it around this year. You know, they had those receivers, that quarterback. There were games that they lost that they shouldn't have.
I never thought that they'd lose the FSU first game. I had no faith in FSU, so I will go back and apologize to FSU for saying, I said, you aren't even going to get close. You know, I thought they were going to lose two or three games this year. So I am wrong in that. Just as I want to apologize to CJ Stroud, I was wrong about him. I always said that he was going to be the big bust of the NFL draft after he scored a 38 on the Litman test or whatever that is called. Yep. So he's proven wrong and looking like a top chance for rookie of the year. So we do get it wrong most of the time, but we want to glove it on the times we do get it right. So that's why we're giving a shout out to myself for that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So if you had to choose, though, we're just going to throw another one out there. If you had to choose, who would you say your top candidate is for Bama?
Oh, man, that's a tough one.
It is a tough one.
Top candidate planning. I think Oregon's coach, yeah.
You going to take Lanning?
I'm sitting here between Lanning and Kiffin. I don't know. But I'm going to take Lanning.
I just don't see Bama opening their arms to Kiffin. I don't know. It just seems like a weird fit.
Oh, I know.
But he might be the guy to do your NIL deals. You know, he might be the one that's, you know, that's what you're recruiting on now as a coach is who can handle the new NIL deals, who can handle that the most.
I mean, look what he did at Ole Miss.
Yeah. Other than losing their top running back this year, he committed to Ohio State.
Yep.
So he might be looking to get out of there. He might be a chance. I'm just going to go on a wing and just say Bill Belichick. I just think it'd be awesome if it happened.
That would be cool.
Going for it. I just think it'd be awesome. See how he handles it. You get that name in there, it'll be like Saban never left. You know, just you got the same goats on two different levels coming, you know, playing. That'd be legendary. So I'm just going to go with Belichick just for the heck of it, just for the fun of it. So he's going to come down here, win three national championships and call it a year. I think he's younger than Saban by like a year or two.
Okay. So speaking of Belichick, do you want to redirect towards the NFL now in the coaching carousel?
Yeah. Speaking of that, it's been, like we said, a crazy week in 2024. Within 24 hours, Bill Belichick Patriots announced that they're splitting ways with Bill Belichick. I just saw the interview with Kraft and Bill Belichick and everything. Belichick just, we did a great job. I want to thank all my staff. Just in normal Belichick fashion, just I'm here so I don't get fined, you know, type thing. And 20 something years with them, man, what a career there. That's a definitely first round ballot for him.
Absolutely. And you know, so who are the coaches? So Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, the Falcons coach, Ron Rivera in Washington.
Yeah.
Panthers coach, right?
Yeah.
I don't see. Who else was there? Is that all so far, or is that?
I think there was a few more. I can't remember.
I don't know. It's been a wild
offseason since the playoffs kicked in. It's been a free-for-all. Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, Matt. Oh, Bears are keeping their coach.
Yes.
Titans fire Mike Vrabel.
Yes, Vrabel. Yeah.
Vrabel. I said Dennis Allen expects to be back for the Saints, but then you said Atlanta's gone. But yeah, there's a lot of open spots. Do you think Bill just slides into one of those? You know, someone's talking about him sliding into the Commander spot, or does he? You know,
I know Jerry has said McCarthy is safe. But what happens if you go out and lay an egg against your former team of the Packers? Are you really safe now that Belichick is out there?
Yeah. Well, if you go first round oust, yeah, might be back on the hot seat. Well, with Jerry Jones, that hot seat is just a button in your car. You can turn it on and off anytime. It's not. I don't think he's ever actually safe until they re-sign him. So.
Yeah.
But. But let's go back to Belichick's stat lines. Let's just say that 24 seasons, 6 Super Bowls, 17 division titles, most by any head coach. As a head coach, he had 7 13-plus win seasons. Second has only 3. Only head coach with 6 Super Bowls. He actually has 8 total, 2 assistants with the Giants. I didn't know that. In 1986 and 1990. So he has 8 overall with 6 with the Pats. 19 postseason berths, most by a head coach tied with Don Shula. 302 regular season wins. He's only one of 3 coaches to ever do that. 333 total wins, second behind Don Shula with 347. So that's another question. Is they wanting Bill to get back in? All he needs to do is win, 14 games. And he takes over that highest winning percentage as a head coach.
Obviously, somebody will give him the chance to do that.
Mm-hmm. Might take him 2 or 3 years, but, get 3 or 4 here, 5, 6 win season here.
You know, and then the first two games of the third season, he's got his 15th win to surpass Don Shula.
Right. Yeah, it's all about who gives him that opportunity. And what was that stat earlier that we had found? Oh, with Tom Brady, it was 249-75, and without, is 84-103.
Yep. And I guess those were when Tom was injured or whatnot, because, you know, four seasons is not going to be
right.
180-something losses, you know. But, yeah, that's the big debate, too. Does the player make the coach? Does the coach make the player? Or does two good coaches and players make a dynasty?
Right. And being able to sit back and not actually have to do anything, you kind of...
The stakes are high this season, and the competition fierce. Nematodes and disease. These guys don't play fair. With your yield on the line, you can either get lucky or you can stack the deck. With Victrato Soybean Seed Treatment, featuring Thymerium technology, it's your ace in the hole to flush out royal pains like nematodes, SDS, and red crown rot. Victrato Soybean Seed Treatment. Read 'em and reap. Always read and follow label instructions.
You'll lose your coaching edge for a little bit.
Well, yeah, when you have a solid leader as your quarterback for 19 years, you know, it's kind of easy. It makes your job a little easier.
Exactly.
And you, like you said, you kind of lose that edge of what you have to do as a head coach, or have to do more with a Mac Jones or, you know, Zappe or whoever they put in there for carousel that's been there since Brady left. Brady's record since leaving Bill, though, was 37-18 with Tampa Bay. So still pretty good without Bill.
Yep.
You know, still a winning record. And he didn't have the defenses maybe 1 year with Bucks when they won it all, but he didn't have the consistent defenses that they had in with the Patriots.
Oh, for sure.
So, I mean, does Brady leaving for 3 or 4 years tarnish Bill's legacy a little bit? Or is it just, hey, you lost one of the best quarterbacks ever. Anybody's going to lose after that.
I think it's kind of that situation, because then the culture of it is a shell shock. So how do you rebound from that year? You know, then after that, you know, I guess Mac Jones, I'm sorry, but no. Bailey Zappe, you know, he is what he is. So I guess did they have Cam Newton run it 1 year?
He did a little bit. I don't know. They probably had about 5 or 6 QBs since Brady in the last 4 years.
Cam Newton, you know, laugh out loud.
It cracks me up, though, with that new McDonald's commercial. It looked like Cam Newton, the Nuggets or whatever. It's got, like, the top hat and, like, the tattoo on the face.
Uh-huh.
It was like, that cracked me up. I said, I would never guess that until I watched this. So I need to get – that's where my algorithm has taken me. So, yeah. But, yeah, they've had a carousel. They're probably looking to draft. They got top 3 or 4 draft picks. Someone was talking about either Daniel from LSU or what's the boy from North Carolina?
Drake May.
May might be potentials for them. I think for some reason I feel like May would be a better fit for New England.
Look for New England to potentially trade up to the Bears number one.
They taking Caleb then?
I'm just saying, look for them to potentially trade up so they can get their guy. Not necessarily saying it's Caleb.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a number one overall pick.
Yeah. I know a lot of people think he is, but I don't know. I'm not sold on him, especially after how he handled the losing of halfway through the season and everything else, man. I don't know. I think that
keep his mouth shut.
Yeah, that kind of hurt his draft stock.
I think he's the next Baker Mayfield. He's going to be a serviceable quarterback, but
not the guy.
Yeah.
Well, Baker did have a resurgent year this year. Finally got a chance with Buccaneers. He kind of bounced around there after the Browns released him, and now made it to the playoffs and got his $1 million incentive. So good on him.
Yeah, he also has a good team around him too. I mean, look what the Browns were when he was there.
Yeah.
Who'd they have? Kareem Hunt. That's about it.
Yeah, he did lead them to their first playoffs in 14 years or something like that. Can't remember how long that's been, but Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a wild draft. I think there is going to be some moves with Bears got two of the top five picks or something like that. They got like 1-4, 1-5 or something like that. They made a trade for somebody last year to get the fourth or they lost enough to get the number one spot, and then they traded somebody to get the fourth or fifth spot. I can't remember for sure.
They traded Carolina something for their pick. So when Carolina officially wrapped up the worst record in the NFL, that's why the Bears got the number one.
Oh, so the Bears benefited from Carolina having a bad year.
Yes.
So they traded a first-round pick not knowing if it was going to be first, second, third, fourth, or fifth. But then since Carolina laid a goose egg with the flop of the year with Bryce Young. But then again, they said that they showed him next to Lawrence's records, you know, his first year in. They were kind of similar. I know they don't have the best team around Bryce Young. Do you think Bryce Young has the ability to perform better with a better team around him, or was it just was the team's results because of Bryce Young? I know there's some early young, got to learn learning experiences, but do you think he overcomes these bad seasons?
I think he has the capability to overcome it. It's just if can he stay healthy enough long enough?
Yeah.
With that horrendous offensive line that was out there.
I was just about to put that. They're going to have to get a line around him. They were terrible in the run game. Terrible all the way around. And you can't give yourself a new quarterback that's getting pounded in the backfield every other play. And he's definitely not going to stay healthy staying away. So they're going to have to make some big moves to get some offensive line. I see them to build an offensive line and maybe filter in a few key pieces in running back or wide receiver or something to help out maybe from free agency. But I see them draft heavy, some big linemen.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, and you mentioned Pete Carroll earlier too. He's been released from his duties at Seattle, so with 14 seasons. He had 10 postseasons with them out of the 14. His overall record was 137-89-1. He was 10-9 in playoffs. 11 of the 14 seasons, though, were winning seasons. So he had a good tenure there.
But a blunder cost him a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he had one Super Bowl. He could have had two. So 2 in 14 years wouldn't have been bad, but.
No, I mean, who does not give the ball to Marshawn Lynch at the half-yard line?
Someone trying to be too cute.
Someone not wanting him to get the player of the game.
That's what you think it came down to?
Oh, yeah. Russell, they said with Pete Carroll that Russell was the poster child.
I wouldn't care who gets player of the game as long as we got a Super Bowl ring. If it came down to that, if I found that out, I'd be trashing some place or something. But, yeah, well, there goes again. Does the coach make the player, or the player make the coach, you know, with Russell Wilson leaving? He dominated at Seattle. Is that because it was a good coach, or when he went to Broncos, laid a goose egg for the last 2 years? Player, coach, do both make a good combination?
I think you get a good coach and a good player, it is a recipe for success.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a little bit of both. So they're trying to blame, you know, when Brady left, trying to blame one or the other, blame game. I think it's just the right combination just made for, you know, not saying it's smooth sailings, but it made it for an easier sailing for both of them. So, yeah, Pete Carroll leaving. You think Pete Carroll coaches somewhere? What about Pete Carroll for an Alabama job? He's one of the only head coaches in NFL that's had a BCS National Championship and a Super Bowl.
I look for Pete Carroll to kind of stay in the NFL, though.
Yeah.
Maybe Panthers, a good young quarterback, Russell Wilson-style quarterback, get the best out of him.
Yeah. Well, we do know that Pete Carroll is really good with
NIL deals before NIL deals existed. So he might be
the right. That's not a USC jab, is it?
Yeah, we're not going to take any USC jabs, Boomer Sooner. No, I'm joking.
Hey, Reggie, where's that Heisman at?
Yeah, that's another debate, man. It's one of those where it was illegal at the time, so you don't deserve it. You don't get it back. But now that everything's willy-nilly, whatever goes, you know, you're like, man, people are doing 10 times worse now with money than what he did. It's like, you know, if the Heisman is just vacant, shoot, just give it to him. If it's given to the second draft or second votes, then say, no, he didn't deserve it at the time because it was illegal at the time. So you pay the price for what was illegal at the time. There's stuff today in NIL rules or college that's illegal that if you did, you're going to be punished, like Harbaugh's punished, you know? So they're going to say, does he deserve the national championship? So he served his time. So there's a lot of questions on either way. What's right, what's wrong. But
yep.
I think it'd be wild, too, if the Carroll's name gets thrown in there for the Bama thing. That'd be wild. But if he does stay in the NFL, where would be a place for him to go? I mean, he's up there in age. He's 70-something now, too. So he's probably only got, what, 5 more years? Maybe 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Does he bridge the gap with like a Commanders team until they find their lifelong relationship, or, you know, Atlanta for a few years or whatnot? I don't know.
I think he goes somewhere where there's a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, as an older coach, why do you want to go somewhere where it's no quarterback that you can't work with?
Yeah, you want to come into a winning situation, which, I mean, any coach is looking to do. But, I mean, if there's not that many people knocking at the door, do you just take any old place or just ride off in the sunset?
I think you just ride on in the sunset. Why settle for something less than what you feel like?
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
That you have earned over your career.
Yeah, I mean, you're 70-something. Why not just enjoy the last remaining? You've got a BCS national championship. You got a Super Bowl. You know, why risk it to go to relocate, first of all, somewhere, and then start all over with some team? You know, he's 72 years old. So, I mean, why not? How much more able years you got? Just go enjoy that money and ride off, man. I'm planning on being retired before 60. So, I mean, 55. So it's like,
absolutely.
It's like, I don't want to be sticking around doing a job. I mean, I know you love it and everything, but shoot, there's other things outside of it. So, I don't know. Different people, different motivations, man. So, who knows where they land. I think in the next month or so, some dominoes are going to start falling. And it's going to be a new era of football from college to NFL. I mean, it's going to be a whole new outland of it. And like I said, also jumping back to college, that whatever team you think you have now, it's probably not the team that you're going to have in September when they start up first game. It's going to be a whole team.
No.
So I was thinking they shouldn't even have rankings until week before first game and say, here's our rankings, because you can have someone ranked up and they lose 2 or 3 players to an NIL deal or a portal or something and say, we're gone. All right. That team just went from first to fifth.
Week one should be your tentative rankings.
Yeah.
And week two, here come the rankings.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I said, it's going to be a whole, until they get that NIL corralled, some guidelines, some borders, something, I think it's just going to be the Wild West. You're going to have coaches ditching left and right. You're going to have players ditching left and right. Just curious to see who makes the jump from NCAA coaching to NFL, or who drops down from NFL to NCAA, you know, with all these NCAA deals. It's not a bad deal to go down to NCAA and coach, less pressure than NFL, and still make $75 million to get fired, like Jimbo Fisher, you know?
Yeah.
So what's the pressure there? But
so speaking of, But let's kind of shift. So speaking of, like, you know, downgrading, so you call it like NFL to college, people would say, oh, well, that's a downgrade. How about the refs from the Detroit and Dallas game being downgraded and missing the playoffs?
Ooh.
Even after they showed the video of three Detroit linemen approaching the official, and the one lineman that wasn't eligible coming in, raising his hand above his head and even wiping his chest. That's the signal for being an eligible receiver. And the official saw him running on the field doing that, so thought he was eligible. But you got two other walking towards the official. It's like, that's on the Lions are trying to play this silly little cat and mouse game.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, these officials should not be downgraded.
Yeah.
The official saw what he saw and made his call.
Yeah, it was definitely while watching it, I was thinking the refs made the wrong choice. But then when watching John Boy?
Uh-huh.
His lip reading and his analysis on it, you clearly see number 70, who did it earlier in the game, coming in, rubbing his chest, holding his hand up, that he was eligible receiver. He did the same exact motion coming in for that two-point play, and the ref is clearly looking at him and not looking at the two linemen in front of him. And I think they just try to play too many games with them and try to confuse. But they announce it over the announcement, don't they? They go, number 68 is an eligible receiver. Don't they announce that over the intercom?
I thought they were supposed to.
Yeah, so, I mean, whoever – did they announce 70 was the eligible receiver coming over the intercom? If so, then Detroit calls timeout and starts over and says, no, we want 68. You know, then again, after two failed attempts and you got two more attempts, don't you just kick the field goal and just tie it after that point?
I would.
Yeah. I think that the two-point conversion from the 7 was more of a, hey, you screwed us, and whatever happens is on you now. So, like, it's win-win for him.
And but I was listening to Dan Campbell talk in Detroit. And he basically told them, I told the guys, we get to a two-point, we get to a spot where we can go for the win, we're going to go for the win.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was in agreement with it.
Yeah.
He said, now, if we're outside the 10, absolutely, we kick the field goal. But inside the 10, we felt like that we had a chance to win the game, and that was the chance we were going to.
Yeah.
Hey, I credit him for being aggressive. I credit him for sticking to his guns. And that's how you keep a team on your side. You don't lose the team.
Confidence.
Yep. You know, it's not like players going against their coach, Jameis Winston. But yep.
That's bad. Yeah. It's – I definitely respect him having the confidence and sticking with his guns, but I feel like due to the situation after, you know, one or two failed attempts, that you just say, hey, we're going to do the tie, and then we're going to win this bad boy in OT. You know, we're going to be the better team. You know, they were making a run back to – they were dominating, you know, those last few minutes and then gave a few away. So I think that if they did go to an OT, I think they did have the momentum. But it's one of those it's all said and done now. Yeah. You got to come to playoffs. You got to win. It's all one and done now.
I kind of feel like maybe at that point in the game, he thought, you know, Dallas started getting a lot of momentum. I was like, I got to stick it to them right here. We can't go to overtime. They're going to get us.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, which CeeDee Lamb had like, what, 500 yards receiving on 11 catches?
Yeah.
That was something ridiculous.
I was playing against him for like – third place in another league. I was like, of course, just have your best game right now. It's fine.
Exactly.
But yeah, losing 20-19 after that, I just think they try to get too cute. I mean, just say, hey, he's an eligible receiver. Nobody thinks anything of it, you know. Mm-hmm. If they do, I'm sure something else would have been open. So I don't know. It's just, it's one of those two. Then once that comes out, I mean, I think NFL might have been too quick to deny them playoff reffing a playoff game. So that's basically what they're good at. You know, just everybody's just guilty before proven innocent, you know, type things.
I almost wonder if that crew was like on the bubble for something and they just needed something like that to happen. We're like, okay, yeah, we don't want them in the playoffs.
Final straw.
Yeah. I don't care. I don't care if the investigation comes out and they were right. There's too much that happened with this crew this year. We don't need them in the playoffs to screw something up.
Yeah. Yeah. And even after that debacle, they got the blessing to ref the Pittsburgh Ravens game, which ended up being 37 degrees and pouring rain.
Yeah.
So congratulations. You got out of the playoffs and you get to ref this game. That's absolutely dog crap. So
here's your toilet bowl.
Yeah. Oh man, that'd been miserable. I'd have been hating myself and like, this is terrible. Yeah. That,
So speaking of the Jameis Winston barb that I threw out there, what he did, I'm in complete disagreement with him. Oh, well, the team decided we wanted to do this. Okay, you're in victory formation.
Mm-hmm.
Victory formation. The defense looks at you. Okay, you're conceding. You're kneeling it. We're taking it to the house. That is a chicken butt way to go out there and get your guy that hadn't got a touchdown a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's why Jameis Winston is the highest paid backup in the league. That's why he can't keep his job.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's like you can say Jameis wins wherever he goes. You can say Jameis does this and that. They say he's actually a good guy out the field and a good locker room guy. I'm sorry. That is a chicken butt way to go about it.
Yeah.
You have a timeout, burn the timeout, and say, Coach, we've all talked about this. We'd really like to get him a touchdown. Can we line it up one play? If we don't get in, then we'll kneel it.
Yeah. You don't just audible without coaching, telling the coach. You know, I feel like that's kind of a bad look for the coach, too, to where, hey, do you even have control of your players? They're just going to do what they want. And
exactly.
I get why they're doing it for what's-his-name that didn't had like 17 touchdowns last year with Lions and had none this year. But then again, what's one touchdown going to make a difference? You're going to score one touchdown this year?
He was hurt for 5 or 6 games, too.
Mm-hmm.
I tracked him in fantasy, I know.
Yeah. But it's...
You know, but to me, that's almost a loser mentality. We're going to trick the other team in thinking that we're conceding this down, but no, we're really going to punch it in the end zone.
If you're going to go for it, at least line up like you're going for it. Don't try to trick them and then hand it off to a running back at the 1 yard line. But yeah, they were up 41-17 on the one and going to kneel it. There's like 20 seconds left in the game and they call an audible without their coach knowing. And the head coach from Falcons let him know, let the Saints head coach know. And you can tell the Saints head coach was kind of like, I don't know what to tell you because it wasn't me.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know what happened. That was not my call, which, I mean, yeah, to me, I let Jameis go. But bye. No, we don't need that here.
Yeah, that's definitely – I'd definitely be mad as a head coach. You're going to change the play on me. You're the guy leading that team out there, and you're going to let them talk you into something against my
– Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
My call, saying it was a collective decision to give Williams a shot at his lone touchdown of the season, So, like you said, Arthur Smith was hot and was trying to give Dennis Allen every penny he had. I mean, Arthur Smith could have said whatever he wanted because he's getting fired the next day, so he wasn't going to be around.
Sure. Get his money's worth.
Yeah. So, That's wild to think of that. I mean, yeah, I get why you're doing it, but I still think it's wrong.
Yeah.
I think that you just shouldn't do it. 41-17, there's a professionalism among sports, like baseball. You don't bunt after a certain inning with certain runs up,
Yep.
You don't pimp home runs after, mostly any time, but especially if you're down 10 or runs or up 12, you definitely don't. So, I mean, there's some definitely some unwritten rules, and that was definitely one that was broken for sure. For sure. But also some pretty cool news. I don't know if it's great or not. Mike Tomlin retained his above 500 record and made it into the playoffs. Don't know how he keeps doing it. Despite in the last three seasons having a negative point difference, still has made it above 500 in his 17-year coaching career with Steelers.
That's getting blown out some games and then having some really close wins.
Winning every close one and getting blown out. Yeah, but I just think it's wild that they even made playoffs because they were sitting there for a while at like 3 or 4 games below 500. They thought he wasn't going to be able to get his above 500 and keep his streak alive. So credit to him. They made playoffs. I don't see him winning past first round. But if they do, credit to him. Tip the cap.
So what do you think about Puka Nacua?
Man, what a snag for Rams.
So before you get too far into it, that's my rookie of the year.
Yeah, I would go with him, but a lot of them are saying that Stroud should get it, which also amazing year.
Which see the difference between him and Stroud? Stroud missed some games, right?
Yeah, I think he was injured for 2 or 3.
Puka stepped in for an absent Cooper Kupp and made an immediate impact and basically said, no, you're not taking me off this field. You're taking someone else off when Cooper comes back.
Yeah. And he maintained those numbers when Kupp came back. He dropped Kupp's numbers down, which you're like, everybody was thinking Kupp was going to come back and just start back where he left off last two seasons, dominating the league. Yeah, they're saying that that's a two-man race between Puka and Stroud. Man, I mean, like I said, Stroud's done some big things there, getting Houston back in a playoff spot for the first time in, 8 or 10 years, something like that. But you said Puka broke the single-season rookie record for receptions and yardage.
Bravo, young man.
Kudos to him. And coming out of, was it Utah State?
I thought it was Brigham Young.
Might have been. Utah. We'll just say Utah, somewhere out of Utah.
Yeah, one of those schools there.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's especially, I think it's more crazy though to be rookie of the year when, was he a free agency sign or did he get drafted way on further down? Stroud's a first rounder. Everybody's like, well, he should have done good. He's a first rounder. You get Puka in there that's, you know, nobody heard of or known of and absolutely lights up the scoreboard every time he gets on the field. So, yeah.
Puka played football at Washington and BYU.
BYU, you had it. Yeah. So it said he racked up 1,445 receiving yards, good for fourth most in the league entering week 18. He also has 101 receptions and 5 touchdowns in 16 games. That wasn't even his final stat line.
So Puka was drafted number 177.
177.
Fifth round pick.
Yeah. So, yeah, they got Stroud right now at a minus 850 and Puka at plus 450. So, they got Stroud by a pretty good margin to win it. That was a 1-3 January 3rd. So, I mean, I guess you got Stroud that led his team to a playoff berth, which a team that hadn't been there in a while. I mean, you got arguments for both sides.
Oh, for sure.
But I just think that due to Stroud being a first rounder and Puka being 177th pick, you know, like the expectations, he's exceeded more expectations than what Stroud has. You know, there's a bigger gap there that he accomplished.
And let's be real, quarterbacks get more chances.
Yeah, they do. They get to run.
They get to throw the ball to. I mean.
But running around and getting open every time, you know, we know Stafford is a great enabler of top receivers. You've seen that with Megatron. Oh. You saw it with Kupp. You see it with Nacua. You know, Stafford knows who his best player is, and he gets the ball to him every time. Yep. So, I mean, credit to him being on there with Stafford, which has really helped him. I think if Puka was in it with any other team, he probably wouldn't have the numbers he had, but he was, and he did. And I think it was a great accomplishment for him.
So, speaking of rookie of the years, who's your comeback player of the year?
Flacco, man. I get the argument of DeMar Hamlin people are like, well, he was dead and came back and is alive and played. But he's played two games, and one of his games, he cost the team the game with being the 12th man on the field. And credit that he's still there, that he's still able to participate, that he's, like I said, alive. Credit to the EMS team that was there. But for Flacco to come back after being out for 2 years or something and being 38 years old or whatever, and pretty much turning the Browns season around. Browns are like the first team ever with four plus different quarterbacks to go to the playoffs. And for him to step in and win, what, four out of five of the last games? To just do it barely by handing the ball off 900 times. He was passing too and making plays in the passing game too. It wasn't just handing the ball off to whoever the back is back there. But I just think for being out for 2 years, coming back in at 38, his sample size is a lot bigger. And like I said, nothing against DeMar Hamlin, but he's been on the sidelines for 98% of the time, 97% of the time.
Yep.
You want your comeback player to come back and actually do something.
Yep.
But I do see the argument of him to even come back from that experience, Hamlin, is a great feat too. So, but I just think you got to give it to Flacco.
Oh, for sure. So let's talk about these playoff stories. And I want to tease this a little bit, maybe for our next episode after the, you know, first week of playoffs or whatnot, see how things go. But what's wrong in Philly? I'll hold on to that one and see how things go or if they look lifeless or actually come out.
They've looked bad the last four or five games.
They've lost five of the last six.
Oh, were they 10-1 and now they're
lost five of the last six.
Yeah. Man. I'm kind of guessing it's a coaching problem.
I mean, let's go back to the Chiefs and Eagles Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Sirianni starts mouthing off and pointing at the scoreboard, and Jalen Hurts had to kind of pull his hand down and calm him down. Mm-hmm. And then walking up the tunnel in Kansas City and then screaming at the Chiefs fans where they can't hear him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, he's a prima donna. He's kind of a prick. He's arrogant.
I'd say immature.
Yeah, he's immature, yeah.
Yeah.
The immaturity is real. I mean, Philly fans are starting to get – even Philly fans are starting to get ruffled with him.
Yeah.
So.
It's for me, when stuff goes sideways like that, it's a behind-the-scenes problem. It's a locker room coaching friction possibility with that, because you got a great team. You've proven that 10-1. I don't know if it was just because of the teams they played when they got to 10-1 or what, but you don't just get that bad that quick.
No,
overnight. Like, it was building and then finally hit a brick wall. And I feel like once things did go sideways, there was no one there at the helm to turn it around. Like, that's what a head coach is supposed to do. Keep everybody in the right lane, going on the right path, keeping them motivated. You know, San Francisco went on a 3-game losing streak. Was it Shanahan? Is he the coach?
Yeah.
He gets that thing turned around, and then they go, what, four of the next five wins, five of the next six, and something like that, losing one to the Ravens.
And they were saying that, you know, San Francisco is going to go into Philly and lose because they're on that losing streak. Quite contrary.
Yeah. So I think it starts from the top down, and I think it never made it between the coaching and the locker room to figure out what's going on. And there's a lot of finger pointing, kind of like I see in the Kansas City locker room.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't think that's a coaching player. I think that's just a locker room in general problem. Yep. I think there's a lot of confrontation in that locker room to where,
well, they don't have any receivers.
Yes. Mahomes is frustrated because no one can catch. Kelsey's frustrated because all they got to do is double team him and nobody else can catch it. So, and then the running game, it gets open every now and then, but it's not enough to make a difference. So I think with Kansas City, it's more of a locker room in general problem. And then Philly is more of a head coach to locker room problem.
Yep. All right. Let's talk about playoff stories.
All right. There's a lot of good ones in there.
Yes.
And one of my favorites is Stafford's going back to Detroit to play in a playoff game, Rams versus Lions. And what's sad is this is...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got.
from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This is Stafford's first game in the Lions stadium playoff, making a playoff appearance in that stadium, even though he played for them for 10 or 12 years.
So you do realize it's Stafford back to Detroit, but it's also Goff against the Rams.
Yes. That monumental trade that I think was probably the most equal trade of all time to where
it has helped out both quarterbacks tremendously.
Yeah, the equalness of how well they succeeded by getting traded, just blockbuster, to where Stafford wins a Super Bowl the next year. Goff has been dominant for the last 3 or 4 years and looking for his first Super Bowl. But it's just one of those to where it's going to be interesting. I'm interested on how Detroit's going to accept Stafford, which I think they will with open arms. They're a great fan base.
They loved him.
Yeah, very loyal to their star players, like you saw with the Barry Sanders documentary. Just a good fan base, and they've been in a drought for a while. And I think they'll open him with open arms, but I just think that Lions are the hotter team right now. I'm looking for the take week one, but I just think it's a fun story.
I think both teams match up pretty fairly evenly. Now, defense, Lions may have a little bit of an edge on defense, but I think they stack up pretty evenly.
Yeah. Yeah. And then your second story, you got McCarthy playing against his former team, the Packers.
And he finally admitted that Dez caught the ball.
100%.
Yeah. 100%. Catch, three steps a dive. That's a catch.
He was reaching out for the goal line. And that's probably my one flustered of the NFL. They define a catch every game. They define the difference in a catch every game. Like,
yes,
he did this one game. Oh, he didn't do that next game. Oh, he did the same thing the one game he did catch it. Oh, it doesn't count in this game. Like, I just like, man, we got to figure that out.
Yep.
And that was for sure a catch, for sure. I saw a highlight on that the other day, and I was just like, where did you see it was incomplete? I don't see where the definitive information is that he didn't catch it, because you can tell he made clearly a couple steps and then reached. And then even after it did hit the ground, he still maintained possession. So it was just, I don't know. Yeah, I'm glad he finally admitted that.
Yep.
But, yeah, how do you think that's going to turn out? You know, Cowboys, when they're good, they're really good. And when they're bad, they're really bad.
Knock on wood, they're at home.
They are at home. I think that's the one plus. I think if it was the other way around, they might have been in some trouble.
Yep. But knock on wood, they are at home.
Dallas has been one of the best home teams throughout the year. I think they'll maintain that. I just see Love getting overstimulated with that defense.
Yep.
And they keep talking about Love statistics and stuff. And I watched like 2-3 games of his, like first quarter, and he looked like a college kid out there. Then again, it might be the ones that I didn't watch that he dominated in. But for me, I think he's going to get overstimulated with the defense in his face all the time. And I think Dallas is going to win that pretty sound.
And Green Bay has one of the worst run defenses in the league.
That's not good. That is not good. Our third cool story is Tyreek
Hill. Peter.
Tyreek Hill back in Kansas City. It's forecasted to be one of the coldest NFL games on record.
What'd they say, 0 degrees and a negative wind chill?
I'm out.
They said those tickets are falling down into the $30 range.
I don't even care if I get them for free. I ain't going.
No, I'm not either. And I don't think Tyreek Hill will be greeted very gratefully either.
Now, was it his fault that he left? I don't know the whole story about him leaving.
I'm just saying by how he left, how he started chirping and saying things and all that stuff. I don't think he'll be.
He's mouthing off. You know that was, yeah. I don't see that reunion being as good as Stafford's reunion. But I do see Kansas City maybe coming out of this one, even though with how bad they've been playing recently. I just think that Miami can't handle the cold, and they're not good against teams above 500.
No, I would love Miami to win.
I wouldn't mind it either, which they might, but Chiefs are tough at home. Their fans are on your back all the time. And with it being that cold, I always see the passing game fall off, and that's what Miami thrives off of, is a passing game. Usually those cold games are won by the ground and pound run game. And I would say, if anything, Kansas City's got the upper hand. Is Mostert still hurt?
I think everybody's good to go. I hadn't seen
anything. Well, that might change things. It's just going to come down to the trenches. Those cold games usually do. So for some reason, I'm leaning towards Kansas City just being at home and it being cold, and Dolphins playing against a 500 better team.
Oh, I agree. I can see it.
And then our fourth storyline of the game, or of the day, comes to the Browns versus Texans to see they had the blockbuster Watson trade, you know, with a few draft picks that got picked from Watson being traded. You know, I think C.J. Stroud benefited from that. So it's one of those that kind of, who made the better trade there? Texans, Browns.
How's it? The women in Houston are safe now.
Yes. All the masseuses are safe. So.
and Deshaun's not playing. So that's kind of like one of those, well, crap, it takes a lot away from it. So it's.
Yeah, it does. It does. I think it was for a general manager or the head honchos to see who benefited most.
Yeah. But come on, Flacco. I'd love to see Flacco win.
People are rooting for that underdog. I mean, Texans look good.
Cleveland's favored by 2.
Are they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. See.
We'll get to all that in a second, because I'm going to ask you who you got, and you can write it down.
Oof. All right. Well, I don't know if I want to write it down. Depends if I'm right.
We'll just do wild card weekend. How about that?
If it's right, we'll write it down. We'll go the whole thing. I think I just filled out a thing for the whole thing, and I felt pretty confident about it. But, yeah, I'm rooting for the Browns, but in that game, I wouldn't mind whoever won. I guess Flacco, because it might be his last hurrah. See Flacco make a run at it, you know, at least get to the conference champion or something, you know, or division title or something like that. But, yeah, I'd be game for Flacco. So, yeah, you can get to your guesses or what you got for playoff rounds. I got the map pulled up right now, or the bracket pulled up.
Either that, or we can write them down, send them to each other, and then discuss it on the next one.
Yeah.
Kinda keep it a little secret.
Yeah, I mean.
But wild card weekend, I'll go Browns, Dolphins, Cowboys, Bills, and I'm going to skip that one. I'd love to see the Buccaneers beat the Eagles. Oh, Lions.
Okay. So your playoff bracket looks like Ravens got the first round bye. Texans at a 4 seed play Browns 5 seed. Chiefs 3 seed, Dolphins 6 seed. Bills have fought their way back up to a 2 seed, playing the Steelers at a 7 seed. Bills were like 1-6 there for a second, or some. They're way behind and end up making a run. On your other side, 49ers had the first round bye. Buccaneers at a 4 seed will play Eagles at a 5 seed. Lions at a 3 seed, Rams at a 6 seed, Cowboys at a 2 seed, and Packers at a 7 seed. So. You said you had who between Texans and Browns?
Browns.
You had the Browns. And then between the Chiefs and Dolphins?
I'm taking the Dolphins. I'm going to go underdog on that one.
All right. Bills, Steelers?
Bills.
The Bills. Bucks, Eagles.
Yeah, I can't cheer for the Eagles. Bucks.
It is in Philly. Or no? It's in Tampa. Sorry. I saw them at the bottom, so I thought it was Buccaneers at Philly, but it's 4-5. So, yeah, it's at Bucks.
Which I don't know how that gets the Monday night game, but whatever.
Yeah. Lions, Rams.
See, that's my toss-up. But Lions.
Lions. Cowboys, Packers.
Oh, come on, man.
Dub boys. All right, so they do this weird thing in NFL football where they kind of re-seed afterwards. Yeah. So they bounce back and forth if they're reseeded. So with yours, it would be Ravens, Dolphins, 1-6. Who would you take?
Ravens.
Ravens, they're looking really good. And 2 weeks to schedule for it. So Bills, Browns.
Bills.
Man, Bills are going to be dangerous in the playoffs with how they've been playing. 49ers, Bucks.
Niners.
The boys or Lions?
The boys.
The boys.
I'm setting it up for a Ravens Bills AFC championship and a Cowboys
Niners
NFC championship.
So you went with a 1-2-1-2?
Yeah.
So Ravens Bills, who you got? Ravens did beat the Bills earlier, didn't they? Or did they? Yeah, they played, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so. But man,
got to beat them twice.
You know, man,
it would be a good game to watch, though.
You know what? Judging, you know, if you're going off the Super Bowl logo, everyone's saying it's going to be Niners Ravens. So I'm going to go Bills Cowboys in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Bills, Cowboys, because I was going to go Ravens, Niners.
Well, perfect. We can go opposite.
So, Bills, Cowboys, who you got winning it all? Let's just take you back to the 90s right here.
Oh, yeah. I think Dallas atones himself from that freaking turd nugget they laid in Buffalo.
So, you're going to have Dallas take it all, huh?
Yeah.
In Las Vegas. What's your final score?
Oh, don't get me in a line there. Shoot. 28-24.
All right. It's down. All right. You're in. You're in on my logbook. Submit bracket. Congratulations. But yeah, there you go. You're in on one of my brackets. So. If I was to have to do a bracket, I think I would do Texans, Browns. Who'd you go with, Browns?
Yep.
I go Texans. Stroud's looking good. I'm going Chiefs. I am going Bills. I just don't think Steelers is going to be able to hang. I'm going to go Eagles over Bucks. I think they finally figured it out for playoffs. I'm going Lions over Rams. Cowboys. Yes.
So is Devontae and AJ healthy though?
I don't know.
Because Devontae had that ankle and AJ got that knee.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll find out. I'm going with them.
And I guess DeAndre Swift missed because he was hurt too.
Yeah. Shoot. Could be just a turd ball rolling downhill. It just might get worse. So I don't know. I'll get them, even though I am rooting for Baker. So. It depends. If I choose the team, they usually lose. So, secretly rooting for Bucks, and then we're gonna fill in Eagles.
But out loud, you're going with the Eagles.
Yeah, just to cheer for them. So yeah, Ravens, Texans. I'm going with Ravens. Bills, Chiefs. Bills are just. I just think the Chiefs are gonna go exit out. They just the camaraderie there is just gonna lose it for them. 49ers, Eagles. 49ers, I think, is finally gonna handle them. Then Eagles are gonna have some questions with their head coach. Does he stay? Does he go? Cowboys, Lions. Okay. People are probably going to hate me for this, but I'm going Lions. I'm going with the upset. That's going to be my one upset. So, and then I'm going with my logo here. If you don't know, the last four logos have been the colors of the team that's been in it. Ravens, 49ers. And I'm sticking with my 49ers that I've called the whole time.
See, they've changed the logo. They've had two different logos this year. So which one's it going to be?
They changed it. This is the first time they changed it, isn't it? Because everybody was talking about it.
Purple and red or blue and red. Which one's it going to be?
I don't know. I'm going to go 37-31. 49ers.
Okay.
So that's my guess for the Super Bowl. And when I'm wrong, you'll never know. And when I'm right,
You'll always know.
We'll record this and play it again to you like we did the one single time out of all our 20 episodes that we've been doing this, and we got one out of 16 right. So, yeah, you'll be hearing from us when we get it right. If not, it'll be like it never happened. So
we're going to have a redo of the Harbaugh bell, just minus one Harbaugh.
Yes. Speaking of that, I didn't know their dad won a championship with Western Kentucky.
Now he can sit at the big boy table with his older brother.
So his dad's won a championship 2003. Were they CFP or something? That was when Western Kentucky was not CFP, but they were in the lower division. Won it with Western Kentucky. His brother won the Super Bowl against him, and now he's finally got a national championship. So pretty cool little household. Man, their dad looks just like him. It's ridiculous. He looks like the version of like Bad Grandpa when Johnny Knoxville dresses up. Like he looks the exact same, just older. Like it's a spitting image. Someone's like, it's got to be the same guy. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
So yeah, I think that, I mean, we got some good talk in here from college to pro to rookie of the year. I think the only thing we didn't really hit on was Pro Bowl, which is a joke now.
Any of these things are popularity contests.
Yes.
It's not who deserves it. It's like who's more popular.
So there shouldn't be any incentives for the Pro Bowl, I think, because if you're just going to have a popularity contest, what's the point? Because they had one argument there was between Buda Baker and I think it's Antoine Winfield. Yep. Buda Baker has his stat line, zero interceptions, zero forced fumbles, zero fumble recoveries, and zero sacks, made it to the Pro Bowl. And Winfield, who has three interceptions, five forced fumbles, four fumble recoveries, and five sacks, did not get in. So why even have Pro Bowl? Why just not do stats? You know, it's kind of about the MLB All-Star game. It's all popularity contests. Why don't you just NBA. Do the stats? Yeah, do the stats for like the top 10 and then have the people vote in the last five or the last 10. Do that. But the people that deserve it aren't getting there because of, like you said, the popularity contest. So I think it's a joke. And plus now the games that they do, I don't even watch them anymore. All of them don't mean anything. They're jokes. And it's just a fun little time for everybody to go see all their players, favorite players at one spot. So,
yeah.
I don't know. But anywho, Saban, retired. Belichick, fired. Carroll, fired. A lot of moving parts. The outland of college and NFL football is going to look totally different in about a month or two. And I'm excited to report on it and let you guys know what happens. So, yeah. I think a solid episode, man. We covered a lot. We didn't get to
Absolutely.
We knew it was going to be a football-heavy episode. We'll get back on some other sports. Coming up on the next one, we got some Wander Franco news. We got some basketball news. Some big seeds went down in NCAA. So we'll get on those next episode.
Boom.
That way we could focus on them and then some playoff football.
Absolutely.
And scores and Super Bowl wins. Hopefully we get one more in before the Super Bowl. And then we'll have one after the Super Bowl.
And how the Dodgers have spent just as much on free agency as the rest of the MLB combined.
What was it? $1 billion?
Yeah, it's just they were very close, but yeah, they were over a billion. Both of them over a billion, but yeah.
Yeah. That is insane that they spent then combined what every other team combined spent. It's insane. All right, here it is. You said total spent by Dodgers in the offseason, $1.2 billion. And the rest of the MLB team spent $1.23 billion on free agency. So trying to buy that ring, baby.
Yep.
Trying to buy that ring. So. How embarrassing would it be if they didn't make playoffs or lose first round?
Exit stage first round.
Yeah. It'd be like the Joker scene where he's just burning the cash, you know, in the dark night, just lights it all on fire. Just, there you go. Dodgers front office year one. So high expectations for them.
Oh, yeah.
But credit to the coach. He's there as long as Ohtani's there. So he's got job security.
No joke. Don't screw it up, Dave.
Yeah, we'll hit more on that information, all that stuff. I think you got to go pick up the boy, huh?
Yeah, I got to get ready. Go get the little man.
Yeah. All right, man.
The old boy.
yeah, we'll get this thing edited and out and about as soon as possible. Keep enjoying them. Keep telling people about them. Hit us up. All social medias, we'll keep saying it. Follow TikTok. TikTok has been hitting pretty hard. So, yeah, just reach out if you want something. Like I said, we're going to try to – I'm going to try to reach out to my buddy and get us some laser-printed hats with the leather patch on the front.
Ooh, doggy. Yeah.
Try to make some of those for me and you, and then maybe have some extra for contestant winners or whoever reaches out or whatever. You know, might have to do some incentives for that. So, love to have you. Shoot, excited for 2024, man.
Heck yeah, you know, start getting a strong base. People emailing in, you know, commenting on videos or whatever, and you know, maybe start getting some merch going out too. You never know.
Yep. Yep. Only up from here, man. Only up from here.
Absolutely.
So,
maybe we'll hit them with some fire stories next time.
Yeah, we had too much to talk about this time. So,
let's just say we turned a second on into a last on with one of our firefighters driving last week.
Ooh, okay. We'll wait to hear from that next time.
Couldn't put a Humet on the hydrant.
Oh, no. All right, we'll save that for next time. So.
Just remember, folks, righty tighty, lefty loosey.
Oof. yeah, I bet some butts were chewed off that one. So, all right, brother, go get the little man. Good episode. Catch you later.
Absolutely, brother.
Have a good one.
You too, bud.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.